people that have watched this short video clip comment about this woman, for example. I'm sure glad I don't work for her. I have also heard people say, why is she angry? Something in her tone, I think, makes them think she might be angry, but it's also a look on her face because she's not smiling. Now, why does this woman talk in this way? Clearly, it has to do with her job. Can you imagine her standing up on the stock trading floor in the New York Stock Exchange and saying, you know what I would do? I wouldn't sell anything yet. Obviously, that wouldn't work. By the time she was done, the moment would have passed and she would have lost the trade. Nonetheless, the fact that she talks in that way contributes to an impression of her that is not positive. And it's a double bind in the sense that, although it does make her a very good stock trader, it undercuts the impression that she makes as a woman. Particularly interesting in terms of what I observed of how women and men told people what to do in the workplace was that women were actually more likely to be deferent when they were talking to subordinates, whereas men were more likely to be deferent when they were talking to superiors. All the examples that you listened to of women telling people what to do were women talking either to peers or subordinates. It's particularly ironic, I think, that people sometimes get the impression that they are lacking in confidence because what many of the women told me when I interviewed them was that they talked in this way because they were confident. They knew they had authority. They knew that what they asked people to do had to be done, and so they didn't need to say it in a way that seemed to throw their weight around. And they often commented to me that people who had to be really peremptory in giving orders, they were the ones who seemed to lack confidence. That's why they had to talk in that way. I think this reflects the assumptions that women and men make about how people in groups are going to behave. So if you think of boys growing up in an environment where you know that you have to stand your ground, you have to, in everything you say, reinforce your authority because people are going to be nipping at your heels trying to push you off that center stage position. Since the girls' groups don't operate that way, this may have something to do with what we find that the women are more likely to assume, okay, I know I'm boss, I don't have to talk in a way that rubs everybody's nose in it, but rather I'll talk in a way that saves face for the person I'm talking to. Again, their strategies are aimed out, taking the other person's feelings into account, but they're often interpreted as if it's revealing some inner state of lacking confidence. It's easy to see how these ways of talking can create problems for women and men at work. That is, if your abilities are underestimated, clearly it's going to be bad for you. But it's also really bad for the company. If the person who really did the work is not the one who's getting the reward, then the company loses out. I've given you these examples of strategies that are common among women, but it's not a ritual shared by men, and therefore men are more likely to take it literally. How about a ritual that is common among men that women don't share and therefore women take too literally? The one that I encountered most frequently in the workplace was ritual opposition. This will be familiar because of my earlier lecture on what I called agonism, that is, using opposition or aggressive behavior as a way of accomplishing something that is not literally about aggression. Now, we all know that small talk is a very important part of office interaction because if you don't have a good small talk relationship with the people you work with, then the relationship isn't there when you need to get the work done. And you don't feel comfortable in your own workplace.